Helping Teach Better family. Happy someday of the week in April. I'm Katie Miglin, and I'm here with the amazing Joshua Stamper, who honestly I feel like I've been with a lot, and it's been pretty great. I'm just waiting for this to get kicked off of this. But for now, we're going to enjoy it. Refill your coffee, drop in the chat, where are you at, and what are you most excited about today? And we'll be back in like 60 seconds. Good morning. Good morning. My name is Katie Miglin. I'm with Joshua Stamper, and we're here to kick off your day on the Teach Better Today morning show, where we go live every single morning at 7 a.m. Eastern, early in every other part of the country. And we are so excited you decided to start your day with us, or we're excited that you just clicked play on a podcast. If you're joining us from the podcast realm of the world. So good morning, Josh. How are you?
Good morning. I think I'm better than you, Katie.
I'm driving the struggle bus. I'm not going to lie. I'm really struggling to wake up. And I've been awake for a while, so I don't understand. I just...
That's kind of backwards. Did you stay up way too late partying?
Partying, no.
Getting ready for the weekend?
I mean, no. You know how you just like, okay, maybe you... I know you're a later person too, and maybe people can relate, because I felt like I was the same way as a teacher. But you know, like kids go to bed, or like the house is quiet, like even if you don't have kids, and you get like this tiny burst of energy and you're like, I'm going to get my to-do list done. And then 2 hours passed, you're like, well, now it's way past my bedtime. I feel like I'm in this vicious cycle because I do this every day. I'm super tired. So then I have a cup of coffee in the afternoon, and then I start the whole cycle over again where I stay up late and I get stuff done. And it's just, I just need like, decided I needed a vacation.
I'm so glad that you figured that out.
Yes, that's where I'm at. I just need a vacation and then I'll be fine. So if anyone's got a really great, you know, Airbnb, preferably by sand and ocean, let me know. Happy to take that off your hands for a few days.
Yeah, I want to know what folks are. Are you a morning person or an evening night person? Because like I'm a night owl. I'll stay up ridiculous hours if I can. But the problem is I have to be a morning person for my kids. So 100%. It doesn't really work.
No. And that is literally my life dilemma right now. Like since having a baby, I've been like trying to, you know, I'm like still trying to do all the things. I'm like, we can do this. We can be parents of multiple children. But I think it's starting to catch up to me of like the late nights and the early mornings.
Oh yeah.
But it's okay. I'm happy to have my day start with you, Josh. Oh,
what an honor. Katie Miglin. Fill out my cup.
Well, I mean, it's better than having coffee in there, right? No.
No.
Well, if you are drinking coffee, let us know. If you're drinking an adult beverage, I guess, let us know. Whatever you're up to this morning, drop your name in the chat. We'd love to connect with you. Josh, how's your week going?
Well, you were talking about kids. It started off with my 2-year-old getting viciously sick. And I'm not going to go into details, but I think the description can kind of get you where I want to get you. So I was at like 2 in the morning. And so talking about lack of sleep, that's pretty much been this week. Just trying to get her on the mend. In addition to, you know, making sure that the other 5 kids are doing what they need to be doing. So it's been a busy week.
And no one prepares you, like in all of the non-existent parenting handbooks, no one prepares you for that feeling. And I'm not an anxious person necessarily, but I get like so like worked up, like not in my stomach when one kid is sick, because I'm like, when is it going to hit anyone else in this house? Like, are we out for 24 hours or are we going to be out for 4 weeks? Like, you never know. And this winter, I'd love to hear from people that are listening, but this winter, I feel like people have literally been sick 4 months. Like it's gone around their house. The kids have gotten different things. Knock on wood, we have like dodged all of those illnesses. Sounds like you're kind of in the midst of it, but it sounds like it's been like a gnarly winter for illnesses. So
thank goodness that no one else has gotten it. So it's been very isolated, which is amazing because that rarely happens in this house. I mean, one person gets something and it, like you said, it's that cycle of people just start dropping. And then when the adults start dropping, that's when all hell breaks loose. So
yeah, when the parents go down, it's like that. It's it. Frozen pizza, mac and cheese all day, every day.
Yep. It's survival of the fittest at that point and pure anarchy.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, hopefully everyone starts to like stay healthy, get healthy. Because we are in spring. Hopefully for all of you who maybe have been battling illnesses all winter, you're in the home stretch. I know lots of people have said now they're in allergy season, which is adding a whole new thing. But hopefully you can just enjoy the sunshine that's headed our way, the warmer weather. We can start opening windows and get some of these illnesses out. And get into a healthier season, I should say, hopefully. But
hopefully.
Yeah. Josh, do you want to jump into our team talk? We got a fun talk today.
Well, if it's fun, then of course.
All right, let's do it. Teach Better Family. My name is Katie Miglin. I'm with Joshua Stamper, and we're back to discuss team talk, teacher talk, TT, whatever you want to call it.
Not TT.
I know. Every time I say it, I cringe a little, but I also do it because I love watching whoever I'm with's reaction. So I'll keep saying it.
Well played. Nice job. Yeah,
thank you. Well, today, Josh, I wanted to talk about a topic that I know is near and dear to your heart. And this topic kind of stemmed from a variety of places, but I was working at a school in Ohio and I was doing a grid intro, and there's two tables. One was the art department. So it was secondary art teacher and primary art teacher. And then another table was the entire music department.
Nice.
Lots of great conversation, but they were, you know, essentially like, help me understand how the grid would work in our classroom. So I was working a lot with them one-on-one, and I was talking to the art teacher, and I was like, okay, let's talk through the logistics. How often do you see your students? And he said, we see them every day. Mm-hmm. And I'm not going to lie, my jaw hit the floor. I'm like, you see your art students every single day? And so through a conversation, he like explained, it started in COVID because of the rotation, how they would keep like the specialist teachers like with a set group of students. And then he's like, it was a thing that everyone saw the value, and so they never got rid of. So then I just started thinking like, wow, that's awesome. Because you hear sometimes the opposite, which is where I wanted to pick your brain, of schools getting rid of some of these specials or pushing those teachers into classrooms because we're short staff. So Josh, can you tell us like what, I know you have a background in art, but like what does your day-to-day schedule look like?
Well, I was in secondary, so, you know, that's a little bit different because I did see all my kids every day for a semester. Okay. And then at semester, then it would flip, right? So I would get a new role for all of my students, except for my advanced students. So if they were in the top tier advanced class, I had them all year. And that was by far my favorite because I knew I had them forever, really. So, yeah. And they were great. Obviously, there was a process to get into that. There were some prerequisites to get into the course. They had to be approved. There was a portfolio that they had to provide. So it was a big deal once they got in that class. Mm-hmm. And then knowing that, you know, in your schedule, the kids had to really prepare for that because it was two semesters worth of a class. So if there was something else that maybe they were interested in, it might take up another slot for them. So anyways, all that being said is like for elementary, you know, student teaching there, doing observations. Also, as an administrator, we worked with elementary schools where we'd volunteer to help and tutor. You know, those were on a weekly rotation. So those students would touch one elective per day, but they would rotate. So Mondays would be art, Tuesdays would be music, Wednesday would be PE, and so on, right? So they would go mm-hmm. through, and they would just rotate through. And I believe they had five electives that they would rotate through and give them an option to at least see. But I love what you're saying, is if having that opportunity to see them every single day, I mean, that's going to be amazing. I know as an elementary student myself, I was on rotation growing up through mm-hmm. the electives. So, man, when it was art day, that was the best. That and PE for me. So, yeah, I think, just talking about like students, sometimes those elective courses, I know they get cut constantly, but that is, for some kids, the reason they go to school. Mm-hmm. The only reason they go to school. And that was how it was for myself. So when you take that away, man, that could be just heartbreaking. But then also it just, that student probably have a lot of lack of motivation just to even get up and get to school because the thing that they've loved is now gone.
So Josh, okay. So we can argue all day, like there's students who really value art classes, music classes, PE classes, some of those that are non-tested, you know, you hear all the buzzwords, they're not tested, they're extra classes, whatever. Like, I don't agree with any of them, but that's what we hear, right? Mm-hmm. But let's look at the other, like kind of the science behind it. Mm-hmm. You had obviously your all your training going into the world of education was in art specifically. Mm-hmm. What do we know about the brain as far as development with students and being able to, like, why that class really matters, or why some of these classes really matter, not just because of interest level, but also just for development? I mean, what are some of the things you like remember learning?
Yeah, I think it's the cookie cutter model, right? I mean, yeah. Like there are two sides of the brain that we use, you know, and mm-hmm. some are more dominant on the left and some on the right. Unfortunately for myself, I use mine equally. So right. I'm constant conflict. So as far as like, there's also spatial awareness, there's a visual element. But in addition to that, it's just like the schedule and the creativity and not having it so sit down and rote learning sometimes. And not to say that all the classes are like that, but I know for myself growing up, like just the freedom to get up when I needed to get up and to work at my pace. You know, you're talking about the grid method. I mean, it really should be easy for elective teachers because it is already pretty much in line with the grid method as far as the allowing students to go at their own pace to get to the end product.
Right.
So I would assume that when you were doing that PD with them, that it made quite a bit of sense for them to be like, oh, I already did this. Or,
well, honestly, yeah, that was like, they pushed back that's not really what they were doing. They were more questioning, but it was because of that. Exactly. They were like, we do this. This is mm-hmm. like every day. So what do we need to do differently to like say where you, which it was just, it was a cool conversation. Cause yeah, you're right. There was so much autonomy in those classes naturally that happened all the time. So yeah, it was just it was a different type of training with them for sure.
Yeah. It's literally, what are the few steps they need to implement with the grid method to make it work in the classroom? Because it's essentially logging what they're already doing. So that's right. What I love was like, I didn't have to go chapter by chapter and I didn't have to, you know, get this assignment to get something else done. Like I got to do what I wanted to do when I wanted to do it. And there mm-hmm. was very few opportunities in education that I felt that way. And the art class gave me that autonomy, like you said, mm-hmm. to go at my pace and to do what I wanted to do. And so for me, I mean, that's what made me always gravitate, you know, to that space. So mm-hmm. yeah. And you're talking about future ready skills. Like we talk about this all the time. Like those art classes, those selective courses, a lot of times are allowing you to do that. There's more opportunity for collaboration. There's more opportunity to get feedback from people. Like, you know, when you're talking about an art class and not having assessments, well, that's not true at all. Like
right.
there were plenty of times we had to put our work up in front of the entire class and get feedback and have to answer for the product that we had created. And sometimes it was in the process of it. So it looked mm-hmm. like junk and you had to put in front of everybody and say like, please tear it down for me. You know, like tell me what I need to improve on. So anyone that hasn't gone through an art critique before, like it's really tough. It's really difficult. And so now being on the other side of that, like having that experience, I feel like I can take feedback better than if I wouldn't have gone through that art critique growing up. So, you know, I think there's a lot of life lessons that I learned through that space that helped me to be a better teacher, better administrator, better person, just in general, because I was already doing future ready skills in that course specifically, more so than I was getting in other courses.
Okay. So, you know, it's interesting, like, hearing you talk, because obviously, like, I've talked to you, I have some of my really good friends are like art teachers, music teachers, but it's so interesting to hear, because sometimes from the outsider, and I'm not saying like the outsider, meaning the person standing in the hallway, the other teachers, but really like truly the people who are not living, breathing in the education world. I'm going to be honest. Sometimes I hear, you know, it's just doodling, it's just drawing, it's just painting, whatever. And you're here saying there's so many life skills. There's so many things that students are learning through our courses. That honestly, I like things you didn't even mention, like time management, being able to get done some of these multi-day, multi-week projects are things that, yes, we are working in some of our more core classes, especially, you know, when we talk about mastery learning, but you're doing it all the time because you know that a student might take a couple days to draw something versus another student might take a, you know, one day or a couple minutes. So it's so interesting to hear like all the life skills that go with it, because that isn't sometimes what's on the forefront of people's mind when they think through some of those elective classes, which I think is really cool. If you could pick like 100% up to you, would you say 5 days a week for exploratory classes?
Oh my goodness, yes. Yeah. I got frustrated even. So for instance, when I first started as an art teacher, we had a sixth grade program that was an exploratory system where they rotated every day as sixth graders. And I fought tooth and nail for years. And so I think my third year teaching was finally when they decided that the sixth graders got to choose the elective that they wanted to go into. So, I mean, the reason for that too was it, you know, it was an elementary model. And so to have a touch point with them for one time, a week, you could barely do anything. And then it was hard to budget too. So, you know, there's some other components that I won't go into, but as far as the decision-making process, but yeah, it was amazing to get those students, you know, to commit and to say, this is what I want, because they had already experienced that in elementary. They didn't need another year of that. And so the sixth graders were frustrated too. And the parents, because they were like, why are we doing this again? they had 6 years of that already. Why are we doing a seventh year for them to, you know, get a touch point on this when they already know what they want to go into? And for an elective teacher, it was great because, you know, we wanted them in our program. We wanted them to grow year from year to expand on their skills. So yeah, it was great. But I would say, obviously, the more that they can get into something that they love and they want to be in, instead of just ripping them from there and throwing them somewhere else just to get it. I get it for the younger kids, you know, like maybe a kindergarten or a third grade or something like that, to allow them the opportunity to experience it. But do we really need 7 years of that?
Well, and I think to your point, like it's giving students the opportunity to dig a little deeper versus like this, you know, just kind of touching on the surface of different courses. So yeah, when they get into middle school / junior high and they're like considering, is this something I really love? Having them exposed to it more often does allow them to explore it a little bit more. Now, I also have seen models where students have in sixth grade specifically, they'll rotate through, if they have four electives every quarters, you know, different electives, so that they still are kind of getting exposure to them all, but they are able to get a little deeper. I do like that as well. But yeah, I'm with you. The once a week just forever seems very, it seems very challenging to be able to get into any unit, any content, anything, really dive in deep. It seems like you're going to constantly be just on that surface level. So yeah, I think this is with some good food for thought. So especially like going into, as we're, you know, working with schools, they're kind of transitioning into thinking about next year. If you're a school that is starting to think through schedules, or if you're like thinking of some radical changes, consider, you know, some of these options, some of these possibilities. Obviously, Josh and I are happy to talk through any of that with you if you're wanting to talk more. But yeah, this was just kind of fun to just like think about those classes that sometimes get shortchanged or sometimes get pushed aside in some districts. And I'm going to preface, I don't agree with it, but just sometimes how we know that they are not valued to the same as the classes that are tested. So love having this conversation, love being able to kind of dive in a little bit deeper as to like what is actually happening in our classes and getting to know kind of that realm a little bit.
Yeah. And for anyone that's in the elective world, make sure that you're blasting out all the phenomenal things that you're doing, because I think like Katie was saying, there's a misperception out there of a lot of these programs. And so the more that you can show all the wonderful things that you're doing in the classroom and the product that's being produced, I mean, that's where I got a lot of buy-in from parents and from community members, is when I'm like, oh, your program can do this. Yes. Your students can do this. And especially in elementary and middle school, I think, you know, a lot of folks don't understand just what can be produced at a young age, and they're pretty remarkable.
Oh yeah, for sure. I see the stuff my kids come home with and I'm like, you did this? Are you sure your teacher didn't help you? Yeah. I mean, it's amazing. And just like the conversations they have about, you know, all different elements and stuff. I just think so valuable. So yes, any teacher in the exploratory world, we see you. We are, you know, here cheering you and pushing you. But yeah, brag about yourself, brag about your students. And yeah, this was fun things to think about for sure. So
wake up, Katie.
I know, I'm really struggling today. Cheers, friends. All right. Well, this was a wonderful morning. If you are checking us out on your podcast, make sure to go ahead and give us a like, 5-star review, all that good stuff. And we will see you tomorrow morning. Bye, guys.
Hey, Teach Better community. Thank you so much for joining the Teach Better Today morning show every single weekday at 7 a.m. Eastern. We have so many resources for you outside of this live stream at teachbetter.com, including blogs, podcasts, and professional development that will bring our team to your school. Wherever you are listening from this morning, please make sure you are sharing and celebrating the incredible educators in this world. And hey, if you are listening over on a podcast to Teach Better Talk, we would love a 5-star review. The comments are always so entertaining. We'll see you tomorrow.